ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Text 3, The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. Mahatam Khalu Vriprarshe Uttamashloka Padayo Chaya Na Chittanam Na kutumbe sprihamati mahatam khalu viprarshe uttama shloka padayo chaya nirvritta chittanam na kutumbe sprihamati Mahatam khalu viprarshe Uttama shloka padayo Chaya nivritta chittanam Na kutumbe sprihapatmati Mahatam khalu viprarshe Uttama shloka padayo Chaya nirvritta chittanam Na kutumbe sprihamati Please chant. The cheese, please. Mahatam of great devotees, Khalu, certainly, Vriprarshe, O great sage among the Brahmanas, Uttama Shloka Padayoho, of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaya, by the shade, nirvrita, satiated, chittanam, whose consciousness, na, never, kutumbe, to family members, spriha matihi, consciousness with attachment. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Elevated Mahatmas who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are fully satiated by the shade of those lotus feet. Their consciousness cannot possibly become attached to family members. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Nitai pada kamala koti chandra shushitala ye chayai jagata judai ye chayai jagata judai. He describes the shade of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda as being so nice and cooling that all materialists who are always in the blazing fire of material activities may come under the shade of his lotus feet and be fully revealed and satiated. The distinction between family life and spiritual life can be experienced by any person who has undergone the tribulations of living with a family. One who comes under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord never becomes activities of family life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Parandrishva Nivartate, one gives up lower engagements when he experiences a higher taste. Thus, one becomes detached from family life as soon as he comes under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. I will once more read the translation. Elevated Mahatmas who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are fully satiated by the shade of those lotus feet. Their consciousness cannot possibly become attached to family members.
Chakshurun militangina tasmai shi gurave namaha namo vishnu padaya krishna prastaya bhutale shimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine namaste sarasate deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunvadi paschata deshatarine Shri Chaitanya Manu Bistam Stapitang in Abutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Svapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Ghaur Bhakta Vrinda Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Putitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Well, first of all, I want to apologize. I'm so daring to sit here. One kind devotee approached me yesterday to give the class, and first I said no, but he was insisting, so I had to say yes because he was asking me to do some service. But I'm a bit nervous. I not feel comfortable in sitting in such an elevated surrounding in Vrindavan Dham in front of the deities. Especially, I know there's many very advanced devotees sitting somewhere around in their bhajan kutirs. They might switch on the frequency and consider me as a small boy. If he does some nonsense or says something wrong, the parents, they for that, I'm still very small in spiritual life. But I agreed to give the class because, first of all, I joined the Kirtan retreat and the Govardhan retreat, and I have, especially from Govardhan retreat, at one point I would like to head to, which was very inspiring. before coming to Vrindavan Dham, I felt like my spiritual life became kind of a dead end street. Dead end street is where there's no, it doesn't continue. With my question, like, how will bhakti, devotional service, work for me? And I was becoming more like almost depressed, like, how will it work for me? Up to the point where I was starting to doubt how this will work for me and how will I make advancement. And there's one point I would like to head to, which is, has given me a lot of relief and a great new light in my horizon of my spiritual lives. So I'd like to come there. So here the point is made that the shade or shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, Uttama, if one takes shelter of the lotus feet, one is fully, totally fulfilled. And even Prabhupada writes in the purport, one is satiated, one is fulfilled. One's desires, need, it goes down to an emotional level where one feels full in one's heart and one doesn't have to take any shelter anywhere else. When we have needs and desires in our heart, we are seeking shelter. Which object, which person will fulfill this need? So when we have the shelter, as it's said here, of Uttama Shloka, Krishna, then we are fully satisfied, satiated. And Prabhupada actually mentions that we should meditate on Krishna's lotus feet. So what does it mean to meditate on Krishna's lotus feet? One very direct explanation is that Krishna has signs on his lotus feet. And there is, you can buy these wonderful booklets with all the signs on Krishna's lotus feet, and we can use this for our meditation, like one is the fish. We want to be like a fish in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the ocean of devotional service. Not the, as Prabhupada often says, the fish on the land where it's dry, we have no nourishment, we're not able to live on the dry land. Or the elephant goad, which again and again Krishna is taking our mind and pulling it back again and again, focus on me, focus on the lotus feet. Or at the hoofprint of a calf, and we practice, when we worship Krishna, meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna, the material ocean becomes like little water in the hoofprint of a calf. And there's many more meanings and very deep meanings which my little brain doesn't know, but there is our acharyas who are commenting on these signs. And as Shukadev, as Maharaj Parikshit is pointing out here, that when one has taken shelter of these lotus feet, one is totally detached from family, from material life. And in a very sweet way, Prabhupada is immediately directing to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, is quoting the song of Srila Narottama Das Thakur, that the lotus feet of Nityananda, they're cooling like thousands of moons. And I was asking myself why Prabhupada mentions Nityananda's lotus feet. I guess he was inspired by the song where it's specifically mentioned. I dare to say that he also for us lotus feet, which are very, very merciful or very accessible. And Nityananda, we heard that Nityananda, it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Nityananda and Haridas Thakur to go out and preach the holy name. And they're going to everybody and begging the people just once, take this holy name, chant the holy name. And if they wouldn't chant, they would go on their knees and say, please chant the holy name. And if this wouldn't help, they would even clasp their feet and say, chant the holy name. So Nityananda is Balaram, first expansion of Krishna. He goes down to touch anybody's feet and begs you to chant the holy name. So how merciful must he be? How he just casts aside any of his position. He just clasps the feet of any person. So from that person, we want to take shelter, who is so merciful. And then, of course, we know the culmination of Nityananda's mercy was the Jagai Madai Leela, where he lived in Madai and made them great devotees. And like to show the whole world and the time to come how merciful Nityananda is. So, we can ask a question, what does it mean to take shelter of the lotus feet, or how do we come under the shelter of the divine lotus feet? So, or we can first ask, what does it mean to be under the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet? So, in the first step in that sense, what it means to be under the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, we can see in the further elaboration that Maharaj Priyavrata was always discussing with Narada Muni divine topics about Krishna. He was totally absorbed in Krishna. Specifically here it's mentioned he was speaking of the topics of Krishna. So in this incident, in this part here, it means because of discussing topics about Krishna, he was under Krishna's lotus feet, under his shelter. So it means we are on the spiritual plane, we are connected with Krishna. And in our case, we take shelter of a pure devotee, a Satguru, who instructs us in devotional service. And he explains to us how to perform devotional service. So what is this devotional service? And here I wish to come to the point which very much inspired me in the Govardhan retreat by hearing from Adipurush Prabhu, a BIG teacher. And before coming to this, I would like to ask you some questions. Not questions which you speak out loud, which more in your own contemplation you're trying to answer for yourself. For instance, why did you come to Mangalarti this morning? Or, and then after Mangalarti, why did you chant your japa? What was your motivation? Then why did you come to Guru Puja? Why did you come to Srimad Bhagavatam class? Or in general, why do we Bhakti Yoga devotional service? So I may answer on a very more egoistic level, well, I want to feel good. I want to feel blissful. Shri Gaur Nithai Krishna Balaram Shri Radha Shyam Ki Jai. Yeah, I want to feel good. I want to feel blissful. Being a Mangalarti, chanting the holy name. Or on the other hand, I know material life is not fulfilling. So I chant, I go to the temple. That's my alternative. Or my spiritual master, he instructed me to do so. That's why I'm doing this. Or I want to practice devotional service because it pleases Krishna. So what if this all is not quite enough? If there's something more needed? In Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually in Virasamrita Sindhu, he defines what is devotional service. And there's a very famous verse all of you must know. I will chant it. Anyabilashita shunyam gana kurmadi anavritam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutamam. I'm reading it out of Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhilila, chapter 19, verse 167. When first class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires. Knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy and fruitive action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. So in this verse, there is three definitions of what is bhakti. The first is bhakti is it implements bhakti is the nine processes of devotional service, or the five main angas, or 64 shravanam kirtanam, or the five, like our devotional practices, what we do. And these practices, this process of bhakti, they have to be Krishna anushilanam, in relation to Krishna. And now comes the core, the heart of bhakti, of the definition of bhakti. It's anukulena. In this anukulena is in an instrumental case. That means it describes that without anukulena, the other two, the bhakti processes and directing it towards Krishna will not work. And anukulena, Prabhupada always, he translates it as favorably. And I'd like to shed some light on anukulena by Jiva Goswami's commentary on this verse. He says the word anukulena, with favorableness or friendliness, is the descriptive element of anushilanam, or service. It is necessary in order to limit the definition of bhakti. The definition of bhakti cannot be established with a disagreeable attitude towards Krishna. The word anukulena in conjunction with Krishna anushilanam, directed towards Krishna, service towards Krishna, means behavior pleasing for Krishna. Because this word is in the instrumental case, that favorableness is a necessary qualifier for defining anushilanam. Not as a secondary element that can be assumed to exist in anushilanam, and which need not be mentioned separately. So Jiva Goswami points out explicitly, it has to be explicitly mentioned and highlighted. It's even mentioned at the heart of this definition of bhakti. So the whole point is that we should add a conscious intention to please Krishna by our activities, and this will also open our heart towards Krishna. It's actually, you can call it the biggest mistake, by just thinking that if the bhakti itself pleases Krishna, only when bhakti is filled with this intention or this desire to please Krishna, we can then speak of bhakti. So this is very important, the Krishna anushilanam, that we consciously desire favorably, like favorably has the word favor. If you do a favor for someone, you do something to please somebody. You want to please him. And what also Jiva Goswami describes is that this is a practice. So we often hear in our ISKCON society, the pure devotee, this Anyabilashita Shunyam describes pure devotional service. And we often have the saying, yeah, he's a pure devotee, or yeah, once we are a pure devotee. We have this concept of the pure devotee is free of all contamination, and he's only serving Krishna, and I'm not pure yet. But actually what Srila Rupa Goswami, with this verse, is highlighting that pure devotional service is accessible at any level. He's like, with this verse, he's explaining the machinery, the functioning of pure devotional service. And the three steps of accepting the process of devotional service, of bhakti, of doing it in relation to Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure, is how to perform this devotional service. So then you say, hey, wait a minute, but then there's another part to this shloka. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadya navritam, where he said, anya bilashita shunyam, without desires other than those for service of Lord Krishna, or without material desires. So, yeah, but wait a minute, I have material desires, I can't perform pure devotional service. So here the word anyabilash, or desire, means desire. Suffix itta describes, these are the desire in the core of your heart, the tendency to have a desire, for the general tendency to have desire. So what this means, that it's pure devotional service, that in the core of your heart you want to direct on Krishna and to please Krishna. That's like your goal. It's you've made a firm decision, I want to please Krishna. And then here and there, some material things may sprout up. I want a nice car, I want a nice house, I want a lot of money. But this is not the essence, what is in your heart. If the essence is in your heart, I just want to become rich and famous, performing devotional service to help me to do so, then definitely it's not pure devotional service. But if your core, your innermost decision you have made is to perform devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna, then it goes into category of pure bhakti. And the other part is the process, free, where it says, jnana karmadi anavritam, not covered by the knowledge of the philosophy of monistic mayavadis and karma, fruitive activities. So in other words, what this expresses is that you have faith that the process, which is a prescribing process as jnana and karma, the process of bhakti will give the supreme goal. You don't have to implement any karma or jnana. You have firm faith that this process will give me the shade of the lotus feet of Krishna. Then by having this goal, by having faith in this process, by focusing on Krishna, giving pleasure on Him, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, this is pure devotional service. And in this way, because it is a process and not only a state, a high being somewhere which I will reach after 20, 30 years or maybe in 50 lifetimes, I don't know, it's something we can implement in our life. It's actually forming a habit, or even more, it's forming an internal attitude. Like when we sit down and chant a holy name, we can focus on Krishna and say, okay Krishna, I'm chanting your names for your pleasure. My guru instructed me to chant the holy name, so I'm chanting for my guru's pleasure. And one another important thing also in the definition of this verse, that in Krishna is not only mean Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan, it's also his expansions, different expansions, including his pure devotees. So in that sense, if we have the attitude of pleasing our Gurudev, pleasing the Vaishnavas, it's included in this verse. So, or let's make it even more down to earth, even more practical. Just focus on your breathing for a moment. Inhale. Don't force it, just experience your breathing. Now, breathe in and say, I'm taking this air, this prana for your pleasure, Krishna. Because like this, I'm sustaining my life and I can do service to you. Like this, we can do something totally mundane on the bodily platform. We can offer it to Krishna because we're using this body for his service. We're using it to chant his holy name. And if we can form like an attitude in our mind that my breathing is Krishna's service, we have service 24 hours a day. So to come back to my dead-end street, I was totally lost in focusing on purity. I was thinking, oh my God, my heart, like they describe me, our heart is like a coal mine. You can clean it and clean it, and no matter how much you clean it, it's just black. Like that I felt. So I got discouraged, but this verse has made a paradigm shift in my mind, because it says, it focuses on an attitude, on a process, and not on purity. In that sense, Jiva Goswami describes, by commenting on this verse, that the free of any other desires and jnana is just the Swarup Lakshana, the secondary consideration. Tatashta Lakshana. These other three points, bhakti processes directed to Krishna with the intention to please him, that's Swarup Lakshana. That's a preliminary consideration, the more important consideration. And also Prabhupada states that purity is secondary. You know, like Prabhupada, he first gave the chanting, hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, but then gradually he introduced our principles of purity to apply. And also for me, I sometimes have the impression that Krishna just laughs at our impurities. It's nothing for him. One snip or one little blink of the eye, our purities are gone. So in the sense, why should we be worried about our impurities? It's no deal for Krishna. We should be worried about doing it for the pleasure of Krishna, of having the proper attitude, the proper inner setting to perform service. So one may object, or to come back to what is stated here, to get the shade, shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Sorry, I have to see the time. Okay. To bring it back to the verse that in the purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita to the verse, Prabhupada stresses to take shelter of a lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Actually, also Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu then explains how this devotional service is accessed. The foremost point is to take shelter of a spiritual master who will instruct us in devotional service. In that sense, we every day sing Shiguru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Satma. So we take shelter of the lotus feet of a spiritual master. And those lotus feet are the resting place of Kevala Bhakti. Bhakti, unmixed bhakti, pure devotional service. And in this way, by his instruction, he tells us to chant the holy name, to hear about Krishna, to perform service. And in this way, we gradually reach, or very fast, we reach the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. The same way like Maharaj Priyavrata, he got instruction from Sri Narada Muni, and in this way he was constantly under the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, Uttama Shloka. It's described in this verse. So one may object, it's very wonderful to hear, very nice, but I don't have a desire to please Krishna, really. how to please Krishna. So first of all, I may say I don't totally agree with this, because it said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda Brahmite Bhagya, Brahmanda Brahmite Kone Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade by Bhakti Lata Beej. When Krishna sees our desire to, when we have questions, when we start wondering what is going on in this world, why am I so unhappy, and we start doubting material lifestyle, he sends a devotee, a pure devotee, by whose mercy again we get Krishna, and our questions will be answered. And what this pure devotee does, he gives the Bhakti Lata Beej, the seed of devotion. So in this seed also, the seed, the plant starts sprouting, and a part of this seed of this plant is desiring to serve Krishna. And we hear from our spiritual master his chanting of the holy name, his katha, which is filled with an intense desire to serve Krishna. And when we are receptive, open-hearted, listening to his katha and his chanting of the holy name, we can get infected by his desire. And this is how he's planting this seed. And of course, what is very prominent in our process is we want to, in our parampara, the whole mood of our parampara, the whole power which is making our parampara a chain, a strong connection, is that each disciple is pleasing, wants to please his guru, or we instructed our process is to please our guru. Like Srila Prabhupada came with an immense strong desire that we preach Krishna consciousness. And if we do so, we can please our Gurudev, who's connected with Prabhupada. We can please him by doing some service in Kirtan mission. But with the intention to please. This is important, as it is explained in this verse. Then another very inspiring thing I heard from my Gurudev is concerning desires. I don't have desire to please Krishna. I'm tormented by so many other desires. My false ego is just bombarding me with other desires. When we step in front of the deities, do we want to see Krishna, or is it about that Krishna sees us? So, as far as I remember, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada explains that actually taking darshan of the deities is not that we want to see Krishna with these two round material things we have in our head. That is actually that Krishna wants to see us, or that Krishna should see us. And if Krishna makes a small sidelong glance at us, if he looks at us, the same time he infuses spiritual desires in our heart. So in this way, but if we come in front of the deity, so here I am, Krishna Das, I did so much service today, I distributed 500 books, or I cooked so nicely, I did such great management. I don't know if Krishna is inspired then to look at us. But if we come in a very humble and also loving attitude and just beg actually to Krishna, please look at me, we have the chance that Krishna looks at us and infuses spiritual desires in our heart. That's why when we felt like we had a nice darshan, we walk away with very good thoughts, walk away very empowered, filled. Especially we can go to Balaram, who Prabhupada said we should go and take shelter of Balaram for spiritual strength. So spiritual strength means we get spiritual desires. And another aspect of developing spiritual desires is a more deeper aspect. We all know of the Brahma Vimohan Leela, how Krishna humbled Brahma, who was a bit in illusion, thinking that, how this coward boy, how can he be Krishna? He's eating from the plates of his coward boys and they're, you know, eating with his left hand, and how can this be God? You know, he's like, Yajna Purush, the lord of all yajnas, and yajnas are very clean and pure. So then Krishna rectified him. We know the Leela, how he expanded in all the cowherd boys and calves and did all the Vishnu forms, and Brahma was just blown away. But the very nice thing is that when Brahma got humbled, Krishna then, he rectified his consciousness, and then he didn't just, okay, now you're okay, I'm going, but then he actually gave him the real nectar. He revealed himself, and he didn't reveal himself in a Vasudeva form, which is the worshipable deity of Brahma. He revealed himself as Braj Krishna. And he revealed himself as the Krishna with the rice still in his hand, looking for his cowherd boys in this sweet Braj mood. And Brahma was just out of his mind of ecstasy, because it was just so nectarian to see that form, how Krishna with his worrying eyes was looking around for his devotees and for his coward boys and the calves. And at one point Krishna just smiled at him. So in the same way, and then there comes the important thing, that Brahma really, really started intensely repenting and crying. Now it doesn't exist no longer, but there at Govardhan, there's a Brahma Kund, which is used to be consistent of Brahma's tears. Like, he cried really much. And by this crying for Krishna, this feeling of repentance, he was totally purified and totally enlivened spiritually. So how do we apply this for us? At least for myself, I often experience Krishna makes a Jai Gopal Das Vimohan Leela once in a while to bring me out of Maya. So when this Leela shows us that Krishna may humble us, but after the humbling, it's not just, okay, now you're humble again, great, so I leave you, where's the next? And he comes and he reveals himself to us. And even if this may not so dramatic and ecstatic like in the case of Brahma, when we realized, oh no, I made such a foolish thing, or I was again so proud, we can use this feeling we develop, this repentance, to really call out for Krishna. And actually, that's the sole goal of Krishna when he does such a leela with us, is actually to make us call out and cry for him. He may do it in any way. He makes us show that our other, often he does it in that way. He shows us that our other shelters we keep for the material world, like we say, like rear doors. We have a main door in the front, so we go in. That's the Krishna service door. But we have some doors in the back where we can get out, just in case it gets a bit too much. But one by one, Krishna closes up these doors and we can't use them anymore. And that's the time where we can feel very blessed, because then Krishna's bringing us closer to the soul, just call out for Krishna. And the same way, when we feel our heart is very dry and we feel, oh, I don't have any desire for Krishna, then we can really start becoming very eager to have this desire and calling out for Krishna, please give me this desire to serve you. Like, we're inspired by other devotees who are very blissful, who inspired us. See, wow, these devotees are amazing, but oh, my heart is so dry, it's like a desert. And then we can start really crying for Krishna. There is this one shloka, maybe you can help me, Madhavana. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yona dhane. Bhakti e Krishna nam smarana krandan. What is this bhakti yoga? It's crying while we chant the holy name. So in that sense, for me personally, it really expresses, why do you cry for something? It's when you want something really badly, or when your eagerness has become really strong. And this again connects to what's mentioned in the verse Anyabilashita Shunyam, Anukul, Anukulyena, with intent to please Krishna. There's an eagerness there. We want to do it for the pleasure of Krishna. So there we can also implement this great longing or desire to serve Krishna, to get the shelter of his lotus feet. And also, Prabhupada, when I was preparing for the class, Prabhupada mentions in his purport, Nittai Pada Kamala. So, also Nittai is Adiguru. He's the head of all spiritual masters. So in that sense, I also felt like our Prabhupada is offering Nityananda, his lotus feet, which in a deeper sense, referring to our spiritual master, that we take shelter in his lotus feet, and in this way, we get the shelter of Krishna. Or if we're in the shelter of our Gurudev's lotus feet, we're on the shelter of Krishna. There's no difference. So Hare Krishna, I will stop here. Thank you very much for listening. If there's any questions or comments, yes, please.